Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarian Show. I'm Britt Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte. Joining me is PJ Brown and Marty from the Diocese of Columbus.
What's up?
Alfonso Gosmez will not be with us today. He's feeling a little under the weather, so we are going to... The show must go on, as they say, so we will continue without him.
Indeed. And since Alfonso's not here, we don't have to talk about the heights and depths of St. Thomas's
this is true.
Virtues.
So for those tuning in to hear a little bit about St. Thomas and what he says about subjects, we apologize. We will do our best, but probably won't be the depth that we normally go into.
Indeed. Our quasi-Dominican brother can bring you up on that next week. In the meantime, though, Britt, what are we talking about?
So today we're going to talk about athletics, if I can say it right, and
athletics,
and how it really applies to, or it can apply to, the spiritual life. Before we go any further, let's pause for a moment and pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We pray these words from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. All this I do for the sake of the gospel, so that I too may have a share in it. Do you not know that the runners in the stadium all run in the race, but only one wins the prize? Run so as to win. Every athlete exercises discipline in every way. They do it to win a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. Thus I do not run aimlessly. I do not fight as if I were shadow boxing. No, I drive my body and train it, for fear that, after having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for the great gift of athletics and the virtues and discipline it can instill in our character. We ask you to always remind us that when we are using our bodies, that it may always be used for your own glorification. We ask these and all good things through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So as we were talking about in the prayer and before, we're going to be talking about athletics, and I know that doesn't really seem as a profound spiritual topic, but we really want to use this show to illustrate how it really can be. If you put your mind to it, you have to be conscious about it, but if you put your mind to it, it really can be something that fosters not only discipline, but the virtues that we all strive for in our spiritual life.
Oh, absolutely. And athletics have been used from the time of the early church to describe the moral life. I think it was St. John Chrysostom in his instruction mm-hmm. to those who were about to be baptized that you need to prepare yourself as if you were a wrestler. Get ready to go in for the fight. Get ready to live your life in this manner, because back in the day, wrestling was it was a serious occupation, and you spent your it would be the wrestler of the ancient world would be the NFL or the NHL player today. You spent your whole life training and just getting ready for that one moment of glory, and that's what St. John exhorted all of the new Christians to do. Was you are getting ready to be baptized and get ready for this one moment of glory, because it will never come again, and you will never be the same after you win this crown.
Right, and that's kind of what St. Paul was alluding to, where we are wrestling. We're with our temptations, our vices, our passions. Mm-hmm. It's really this ongoing struggle. Which, what are sports if not a struggle? It's a specific game where football, you're trying to get in the end zone, you're competing against the other team. Basketball, you're trying to score baskets and all this. And really, every sport has this objective. And really, the spiritual life has the same thing. It's a little bit more lofty in one sense, but it's also a little less concrete than, you know, when you hit a three-pointer in basketball. You don't really know when you hit a three-pointer with a rosary,
yeah,
to use that kind of metaphor, maybe not appropriately, but it seemed good at the time. So before we go any further, let's talk about our own personal experiences, both PJ and I. Growing up, and even now still, we played sports a lot. PJ's sport of trade, of course, was wrestling, which he was alluding to.
Woot.
We'll let him talk about that here in a moment. And I grew up being the youngest of three brothers. My sport was always, what are my other two brothers doing? I.e., what are my parents going to drop me off at when my other two brothers are playing sports? So, and my middle brother was really big into golf, which then in turn meant I became big into golf, because that's where I was dropped off, being the youngest child. So PJ, talk about a little bit your experience with wrestling, and you kind of already alluded to it with St. John Chrysostom, but What are some of the things that it developed and really formed you as a man?
So I can't deal with sport ball things. I have no hand-eye coordination whatsoever. It's truly terrible. Football worked because I'm big enough to hit somebody.
Well, right. You can play line and just kind of run into someone.
Britt has tried and failed miserably in trying to get me to golf. I'm at the point where I think I can hit the ball like half the time, and that's pretty darn good, I'll tell you.
I do remember playing with you, and we were with a couple other of our friends, and they were saying, oh, PJ, that was a really good shot. And then the next one, you made contact and kind of dribbled across the ground, and I was like, good shot, PJ. And they're like, what are you talking about? I was like, look, he hit the ball. That's where we're starting. And, I mean, go ahead and jump in with the spiritual life. Sometimes you just have to hit the ball. You have to go into church. And,
oh, yeah.
I mean, the perseverance that you're showing with golf is what you need to put into your prayer life.
No, absolutely. I mean, you're never going to get good at anything and until you... So, Britt and I are about to be ordained deacons. I'm going to be ordained a deacon. Not that I'm counting or anything, but in 57 days... 5 hours, 39 minutes, and 28, 27, 26 seconds. And then Britt will be ordained just shortly after me. I'm May 4th. Britt's June 2nd. So we're kind of counting down, and we're getting ready. And one of the things that we'll have to do as deacons is start praying the Liturgy of the Hours faithfully every day. And it's a big commitment. And getting yourself ready to take that promise for literally the rest of our lives – we will never not be praying the Liturgy of the Hours every day. Mm-hmm. So just like with any sport, we're getting ready for that and training up for it. Anyway, way off topic. Going back to me growing up, my sport of choice was wrestling. I've always been a we'll call it a husky gentleman. Even when I tell my friends I was thin, well, I use the term thin loosely. You can't see the air quotes on the air, but I was always a big guy from the time I was, 13. I was 6'4". I weighed north of 200 pounds. I wish I could still say I have a 2 in the first digit of my weight. We're working on it, though. Working on it. But I've always been a big guy, and wrestling was one of those things that I really got into. I had a background in Taekwondo. I'd played some football roughly. So when the wrestling coach came up to me and grabbed my shoulders and said, I need a new heavyweight. Looks like you're it. I was like, okay, looks like I'm it, Coach Bursick. But it turned out to be one of the best times of my life. And it's really just helped me. And wrestlers are a unique breed. Mm-hmm. We have another wrestler in my class who's actually, he's a former state champion. Comes from a family of state champions, and we click really well because we understand that we have the same language on that. Because wrestling is a unique sport. It's a team sport, so you win or you lose as a team. But it's also an individual sport. So when you're going out to wrestle somebody, you're there all by yourself, and there's no one to blame but you if you lose, and there's no one to glorify but you if you win.
Right.
You are completely out there alone. And in many ways, that's how the life of virtue is. At the end of the day, there are many things that can impact that, but at the end of the day, you're there and you're making the decision. You're choosing for or against God in every choice that you make. And when you're out there on the proverbial mat of life, mm-hmm. and you're wrestling with these virtuous choices, at the end of the day, you are making the decision. Now, people can influence you just like my coach and my teammates influence me. But when I'm there, that's me. But at the same time, I'm not winning or losing alone because I was a member of a wrestling team, and that team won or lost based on how everyone did. And even if I won my match, if we lost, we lost.
Which is a lot like the church, too, where you always hear this, at least in the catechism, I think it says, where you've got this idea where your sin, you're not sinning just against, or your sin isn't just hurting you, it's hurting everyone. And that's the notion with the virtues as well. If you're being built up by your own virtue, being out there on your own, then really you're building up the body of Christ, because by one member being strengthened, the entire body gets stronger.
Absolutely.
You're listening to The Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Radio, AM 820. You can hear the show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m., and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm Britt Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte. Joining me is P.J. Brandimarty from the Diocese of Columbus.
Yes, Alfonso's not here today.
I was going to say, you're not Alfonso.
So we look so similar.
Right. So we're talking about sports, and P.J. kind of talked about his experience and how you're alone, but you're really not when you're wrestling, and this team notion. I played a very similar sport in the sense of you are alone, and there's the professional golf tour. It's just your own achievements, which is why I really was driven to that sport, partly because I got so competitive that I started getting angry with my teammates when we weren't winning. I knew I was giving my best, but I thought that they were holding something back, which was horrible and started hurting my relationships, which is why the transition to golf was nice, because I can only blame myself. But then you start playing like in high school and college, you have this team event where the best 4 of 6 or 4 of 7 scores, I forget exactly what it was now, but they're all taken. So it's the same notion where you're doing it individually, but it's really encompassing the entire.
Yep.
I mean, in our metaphors, encompassing the entire church. But one thing I really liked about golf, and it really holds true in the spiritual life, you're your own judge in golf. If you're standing over the ball and you tap it a little bit and it moves 3 inches, according to the rules of golf, that's a stroke, and you have to add 1 to your shot total, which the spiritual life is kind of that same way. You have to be honest enough to call yourself on that. Just like in the prayer life, you have to be honest. Okay, I'm really not praying the rosary as devoutly as I should. I'm really squeezing it in when it's convenient for me, doing 1 decade here and then 4 Hail Marys over here and finishing off the decade while I'm listening to something on the radio, or really just not spending enough time in prayer. And you're your own judge in that regards. Yes, there is sort of the church is your judge in the sense of, are you fulfilling your obligations on holy days and Sundays? But really, your prayer life and your own spiritual life is individual in the sense that you have to be your own judge,
yeah,
which is
absolutely
a lot like wrestling.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing. We both had canon law class together, and we were talking about Americans are very legalistic.
Right.
One of the most common questions that anybody in the church is probably asked is, does X count as my obligation
right.
for X? So if I go to that 3 p.m. wedding on Saturday, does that mean I'm out?
Or
am I good?
Christmas is on Monday and I go to a Saturday or Sunday night mass at 4 p.m. Does that count for both Christmas Day and the fourth Sunday of Advent?
That's absolutely right. We can sometimes have a minimalistic attitude, and anybody who's ever looked at sports knows that the people that you're looking at, they do not have a minimalistic attitude. If you're playing a sport, even in that moment, you are giving it your all. And if you're not giving it your all, then you quickly realize, one, this isn't fun, and two, why am I doing this? So sports is a really good metaphor for this life, because our life as a Catholic Christian is called to give ourselves fully over to that life. And there were guys on my wrestling teams, I'm sure there were guys on the sports teams you were on,
right,
who they show up for practice, they're there but they're not there, they're doing it to fulfill some type of requirement, maybe their parents want them to do it, who knows, but they're never starting, they never got that letter on their jacket.
They're just kind of there.
They're just kind of there.
They're just a body.
Yeah.
Which is really an interesting thing that now I want to transition to with, we're getting up there in our age. I'm no longer the spry 26-year-old man I was last year. Now I'm a grumpy old 27-year-old man. And I'm noticing my role with sports is really changing. And now it's going into this mentor role and this coaching aspect where we just won the basketball tournament a couple weeks ago. And I was one of the coaches for the basketball tournament. And
go Papal Bulls.
Exactly, go Papal Bulls. And I've also coached the soccer team this year. And odds are, and especially Chris Yackel, if you're listening to this, I'll be coaching the softball team for the theology in the coming weeks.
That was a really cool way of informing Chris he would not be coaching.
So, but it's really this, my job's kind of changed a little bit in the sense that I'm no longer, as my body's not able to play the sports as much as I want to, it's becoming this mentor and teaching and passing on that knowledge, which is also another part of the Christian life, especially in our vocation as the priesthood, where we're going and we're being teachers. We're teaching people how to live their spiritual life. And this is something as fathers or mothers or really anyone who's got any young children that they're with, taking this mentoring role to pass on the virtues, especially to their children, is really something that you can take as a coach and really be cognizant of this and say, I really want to focus on developing this facet of, I want my second baseman in the field grounders flawlessly. You can take that same principle and say, I want my kid to be very prudent in whatever they're doing. And it's really this interesting shift that I've noticed in my own personal sports, I guess. Yeah.
No, I've had the same shift. As I've gotten increasingly older and increasingly wider and increasingly more injured, I have two bad ankles, and I have one really bad knee and another knee that's not so great. I've transitioned to Britt, you're talking about teaching. Mm-hmm. I've transitioned into more of the evangelical side. I am the as you can tell by my beautiful voice, I am the voice of the Josephinum. I am the designated announcer for all of our sporting events.
And he has the face for radio.
I do have the face for radio. I have the beard for radio too. It's pretty epic today. But one of the things about that is I'm not necessarily. I'm doing a role within sports, but it's different.
Right.
So, Britt, you're teaching people how to live this life. My job is, what I'm announcing, is to motivate people, bring everybody up, and it's also to proclaim to everybody who's listening what's going on. So I was just, Britt was coaching the basketball team, and I was the announcer, and my job was to, you know, make sure everybody knows what's going on. I actually don't know anything about basketball, but luckily I'm a huge hockey fan, so I was able to announce the game as if it was a hockey game. So every time, I was informed later whenever I would scream goal that apparently that was a technically correct answer, because in basketball they're called
baskets.
I thought they were field goals.
Well, yes. There's many. Yeah.
Okay. So when I would say goal, I was half right.
Right. Yes. And so it's really interesting. One of the spiritual principles, since we're talking about sports, and you understand, we were talking about practice a little while ago. You really have to put forth the effort and go to practice. Otherwise, you're going to be mediocre at your sport.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the first things I heard when I was in seminary, I think it was my orientation week. They were talking about the spiritual life. And this has stuck with me now 5 years later. With the spiritual life, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. And it's kind of the same with sports, in the sense that if I'm not going out and practicing my golf shots today, then I'm technically getting a little worse, because I could have been better. And if you apply that same principle to your spiritual life, where I need to be working on this relationship, it's not something that's just going to grow because I watched 4 episodes of something on Netflix. I binge watch Netflix rather than going and praying to our Lord. You're hurting your relationship. It's not advancing as far as it could have because you're not putting forth the effort.
And not only that, you're going to inflict pain on yourself. So we were just talking at lunch. We were just on our spring break, and I was away from the seminary, and I work out quite a bit. I work out 5 days a week,
mm-hmm.
Do cardio and weightlifting in order to make myself fit for service to all the good people of the Diocese of Columbus. I hadn't done any weightlifting, and so I went right back into it and thought I could do it. And I did. I was stupid, and I did squats and leg press, two very strenuous leg exercises, 2 days in a row. And this morning I'm having a great deal of trouble using my thighs to lift myself up from a seated to a standing position. It's quite embarrassing. And it hurts. It's not comfortable. It's actually moderately painful. And in many ways, that's what it's like when you abandon your spiritual practices and you try and come back. The devil is going to make them painful for you.
Right.
Because you've lost, you were fit, you were ready, you were going into it. And you know, sometimes, in all honesty, there are going to be times where you don't want to do spiritual things, where they aren't appealing to you at the moment. And that's the way I am every time I work out. I am not going to pound the table, I promise. I am not somebody who's ever been motivated to go to the gym. Every time I go, I don't want to go. But when I get out of there,
you feel after, good.
I feel great.
Yeah.
My endorphins are up. I've just taken a shower. I'm happy. I'm ready to go. It's a good thing.
And it's the same thing with chapel. I mean, there are times where it's like, oh my gosh. And it's a pain to say this when you really think about what you're saying, but we've all been there. Sometimes it's a struggle, especially for us in seminary, where 6:45 rolls around and you've got to be in chapel for morning prayer and you're like, oh gosh, do I really have to be there? And that's really the struggle, and that's the temptation from the adversary, what you were saying, from the devil and his minions, and going forward. And that's really the uniform we're putting on, is our Christian soul and our desire to be holy, and our opposing team is the devil, really, where he doesn't want you to be holy. He wants you to pull you away. He wants you to be in the comfortable bed at nice early in the morning and be warm and toasty instead of being in the chapel praising our Lord.
And it's not a hard and fast thing, but there's more people who experience that than experience, because I know there's a lot of our listeners out there, just like there are a lot of guys at seminary who every single day, that's what they want to do. They can't even fathom that somebody wouldn't want to wake up and go to chapel. Just like I know some of my best friends at seminary, one of our mutual friends, he works out every day constantly. Mm-hmm. He is the most fit guy I've ever met. And I always ask him, do you ever get tired of this? No, I never get tired of it. I love doing it.
Right.
And I don't understand that, just like he doesn't understand why I don't like to do it. And it's the same way for people with a spiritual life. It can be sometimes hard for people who are who've been given that great gift of just this beautiful, devout piety to understand that most people are not like that. And that's okay. God gives gifts to people in accordance with how he wants them to be used. So if you don't feel that, or if you don't feel like you want to do this all the time, that's fine.
It's completely okay.
It's normal. What you should do is you should ask, what benefit is this going to get me? And the benefit it's going to get me is heaven, just like the benefit that I'm getting out of my workouts every day is I'm losing weight, I'm healthier,
right,
and I'm going to be able to serve the people of Columbus longer. Just like if you increase your prayer life, if you go to church, even when you don't want to, even when you don't feel like it, God is going to work with that, and he's going to bring you closer to him. And the more you do it, mm-hmm. the more I work out, the more comfortable I am going.
And the main thing you have to work on is that discipline to where when you don't want to work out, when you don't want to go to chapel, that you're still striving to be there. And that's where really, and the more as we advance in this show, I'm realizing this isn't just sports that you can apply this metaphor. It's really any hobby you're doing that you really are passionate about, whether it's scrapbooking or photography or really any sort of hobby, you develop a sense of discipline in it because you know I have to get this done because it's my relaxation, mm-hmm. and I need to do this and I need to be disciplined in it. And how much better is that if you consecrate that, which is what the documents of Vatican II call the lay people and really all people to do, is to sacrifice everything in your life, to sanctify your day by offering everything up. So you start, you take your hobby, you take your sports, you take your prayer life, and give all that glory to God by making sure that you're doing it in a sense of, I'm doing this to be better, to where I know when the push comes to shove and I don't want to go to chapel, I'm going to do it because I said this is what I'm going to do. Same thing with your hobbies. I don't necessarily want to paint today, but I'm going to paint because that's what I said I was going to do. Having that discipline really instills the sense of temperance and fortitude and the courage to keep going forward with things, even when you don't necessarily want to.
But at the end of the day, it's something you love and it's something that drives you. I was driven by wrestling. I am driven today. Every time we have a sporting event, I am driven because I want to be, if I get up on that stand and I grab that microphone, I want to do the best job I possibly can.
Right.
You want to play the best golf game you can. I would love to play the best golf game I can, maybe one day. But
you might be already.
Now, we don't need to bring such depressing things into this radio. I'm told what is it, 148? That's not a good score, right?
No.
Okay.
No. Especially not on nine holes like yours normally is. Oh. But, and this is the notion with sports in particular are very competitive, and I mentioned that earlier, that I had a very competitive personality. It's important to remember with this show that sports aren't the end-all, be-all. That there is something greater, that there is the spiritual life, and there is God. And I remember, like I was saying with sports, I was getting so mad that we were losing, that it was hurting these relationships. And you need to remember that, and this especially applies to when you're watching sports. I'm a fan of a number of professional sports teams. just because they lose doesn't mean your life is over. It's okay. God still exists. Your life is not contingent upon... I'm looking at PJ. So
you're looking so intently at me.
Your life is not contingent upon the Steelers winning a game or the Penguins winning the Stanley Cup again. But it's...
Three-peat. Calling it right now.
There's more to it. And ultimately, that's what sports calls to do. And one of the things that I really want to encourage people who are not just sports as we're going on with this, but find an activity that starts to develop these discipline, this... all the different virtues that are outlined in St. Thomas. This is where having Alfonso would have been great, because he could have listed all of them and probably quoted where they're from. But make sure you're conscious about really using them to form your life and grow in that Christian virtue.
The biggest thing I think with sports, and this is where the metaphor ends, sports is always a zero-sum game. There's always going to be a winner and there's always going to be a loser. It's the nature of the thing. Whereas in the spiritual life, there's only a loser if you choose to be a loser.
Right.
Everybody can win. And it's really not that hard. God doesn't ask us to do the impossible with anything.
And with that, if PJ, if you'll close us in prayer.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, thank you for allowing us to come here today to speak about these things that you've given to us. Allow us to run the race. Allow us to fight the good fight. Allow us to always focus our lives and all things on you and gaining that eternal crown of glory, which is the crown of sainthood. We ask this as we ask all good things through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us for today's Seminarian Show. You can hear the show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Thanks and have a good day.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.